we're going to open with our call to worship, and I'm going to read Psalms 150, which is a wonderful praise. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him towards his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipes. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Let's just, when we stand, we'll have a word of prayer as we prepare to worship the Lord in song and also receive the offering. And I want to invite the young people who will be helping with that, Caleb among others. Caleb was looking forward to being a part of this team, and then COVID happened. And so I said that he needs to be one of the first ones back up here. So that's good. Thank you, guys. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you graciously provide for all of our needs, the greatest of which, of course, is our relationship, our life with you through Jesus Christ. We thank you for all. May these offerings be given with joyful hearts. May they be used for your honor and glory. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. How many are here this morning? How many haven't arrived yet, but your body's here, okay? We're here to praise the Lord, and it's so good to be able to come together to worship. Aren't you glad we can come together in freedom, political freedom, but more importantly, we come together in freedom in Jesus Christ. He welcomes us as we come in, and he's already here. What's the scripture say about two or three gathered in my name? What's it say? Yeah, is he here?
Yes.
Amen. And he's here, he's with you all the time because, again, as I said, I think last week, get your head around the fact that the Holy Spirit, God, lives in you. God is in you. That means God not only knows your thoughts, he thinks them with you, he feels your emotions with you. He doesn't notice your emotions. Sometimes we notice somebody crying or smiling or whatever. Oh, look, they're happy, they're sad. He experiences our emotions with us. Think about that. Get your head around that. Spend all afternoon. You won't get there. But keep working at it. Because God wants us to understand just how intimate our relationship is with him and how much he truly loves us. And it's so important for us to meditate and think about that. And just not only that, but allow ourselves to be into him. Now, some of you are worried. Is he going to dismiss the kids? Kids, I want you to come up here for a minute. Whoever thinks they're a kid. Whoever goes to children's church. Okay, come on up. Have a seat right here. These lovely chairs have been laid out for you. They don't have your names on them, but very close. Make sure there's room for Mabel. Mabel can come right here or, yeah, that's a good spot for you, Mabel. Good. How many of you guys got here and are here? Are you all here? Good. All right. Let me ask you a question. I've been handing these things out to people as we go through our time. We do the questionnaire. And do you have chores at home? You have chores at home? And sometimes, you like have to clean your room and stuff like that? You have to put your stuff away? Did any of you ever have like socks laying around on the floor? And your mom or your dad says, pick up those socks. Yeah? No? Huh? How many are honest here this morning? Yeah? Hey, I'm going to be real honest. She's giving me the nod. Sometimes I'm the guy. My wife is back there. She's saying, sometimes I'm the guy with the socks laying on the floor. Somehow they didn't get to the basket, right? Y'all have a basket. And what do I need to do? I need to get around to it, right? I need to get to that action and put them in the laundry so that they'll get washed. And they won't be laying around on the floor and dust maggots and stuff are getting on. You know, it's disgusting, you know. But something more important we need to get around to is knowing Jesus Christ, right? The scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him. The scripture also says in the same book a little earlier, to as many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God. And that means we need to make that choice. We put our faith in him. I didn't notice any of you checking out those chairs this morning. You've trusted him, right? And that's what you do. You put your faith in Jesus Christ. But you need to get around to it. And then, as you go through your Christian life, you need to get around to having a conversation with Jesus every day. How do we converse with Jesus? Prayer and what else?
The Bible.
Yeah, we can hear, we can talk to God, and he talks to us, but he also speaks to us through his Spirit. When the Spirit speaks to you, you know, he says, he'll say something like, you'll think, oh, I haven't had my quiet time today. Do you realize, you know what a quiet time is? Time in the Word, that's what I've always called it. But I haven't had my quiet time. And you know, that's not just your mind saying that. Jesus is saying, come here. I'd like to have some time with you. I love you. You're special. Let's have some time together. And we need to get around to it, right? And so I'm going to give you this as a reminder. I want you just, I'll give you the first one because it's already in my hand, but why don't you pass this down? Each of you can take that, and it can be a reminder to get around to, first of all, knowing Jesus, and second of all, keeping in that relationship by having prayer and reading his word. Okay? Let's pray. Go ahead and take those, and I'll just lay them down there on the chair, and I'll be, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. I thank you for these young people. This is our youth group. And we thank you for them, Lord. May they be growing in you. I trust that each and every one of them, I believe every one of them knows you. And I just pray that they will realize every day that you just love meeting with them. And you want to just infuse them with your love, with your grace, with your power, with the knowledge of the salvation that they have in you. May they get along well as brothers and sisters, and may they be a shining light in their homes and beyond, wherever they are. And we'll give you the praise. And help them have a great time in Children's Church this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you, okay? You can head out to your thing there. You don't have to listen to the boring old guy. Wherever they're going, Mabel. Thank you so much. Bill and Jackie are taking you out. Mr. Bill. Very good. I love kids. We miss our grandchildren as we're away, but I always get a great joy in being able to meet the new little ones that we meet in each church, and they're special. Actually, we've met with both of their families, so we feel like we got to know them a little bit better. And it's really, really a lot of fun. I tease them a little bit, do things like put my hand out to shake and give me five and too slow, you know. They like that, I think. They don't like the old guy getting ahead of them, maybe, but they get me back. Father, as we look into your word this morning, may you teach us and may we be ready to receive from you, not only in our minds, Lord, but through transformation of our lives, through the renewing of our minds. The word that you have for us today. Lord, you know each and every one of these needs. We thank you for your care. We think of Tom's brother, Kurt, having heart valve replacement surgery this week. And also praying for Phyllis Peterson on Wednesday as she's going to be having knee surgery, replacement surgery. And also, I think that's two mains. We want to continue to remember Hannah, and we continue to remember Kathy, as Kathy Von Reason, as she's recovering and doing a little better, but still got some way to go. And I thank you that my dear wife also is doing better these days. Father, we thank you that you care for all of our needs. And Father, even those that have not been mentioned specifically, there isn't a need in this room that you don't already know. And so in faith, we lift them all before you, knowing that you know what's best. We ask for your intervention, that you would help those who are attending each of these people, be they surgeries or in other way, Father, doctors, nurses, other medical personnel, that you would guide them. And may we give you the glory, and may you receive the glory, not just in our own hearts, Lord, but also those around who may not even know you, but they witness what you do in these lives. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm still getting my rhythm here, folks, so I appreciate your patience with me. One of Rabbi Ben Jochai's scholars, anybody know Rabbi Ben? No, I didn't know him either. Once asked him, why did not the Lord furnish enough manna to Israel for a year all at one time? Why didn't he do that? And his wise answer, he said, I'll answer you with a parable. Once there was a king who had a son to whom he gave a yearly allowance, paying him a large sum every year, and he'd give it to him. And he soon realized that he'd give it to him, and then he wouldn't see his son for another whole year until it was time to get that big allowance again. And he really wanted the fellowship with his son. So he changed his method. Guess what he did? He started giving that allowance every day. And that way he was able to see his son every day. And as the Israelites, of course, received manna each day, not enough for a week, not enough for a month or a year, but each day they received and they realized the need to have a daily sustenance in the Lord. We need that, don't we? How many just eat one meal a week on maybe Friday evening or something, you know? You know, most of us eat at least two, maybe three meals a day. Some of us may eat 24 meals a day. I don't know. The hobbits, I think they had breakfast and second breakfast and 11sies and onesies, and of course noon is lunch, and you go on and on. Anybody know about the hobbits and the, you know, okay. And some of you may be like that. I don't know, but of course that's fiction, but you know, we need that meal. We complain. If we miss one meal, I mean a physical food, we're going, where's lunch? Where's supper? Oh, I didn't get any breakfast today. But how many of us complain about missing a time with the Lord? You know, I'm not trying to get you to complain, but think about that. You know, just think about that. And how are we responding to Jesus? This story of Mary and Martha is very telling, or Martha and Mary, however, which way you want to say their names. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Now, Martha opened her home. That was a nice thing. These were the sisters of Lazarus, as you know. Luke speaks in this way as one who may not have known their familial relationship. There's reason to believe that these were even cousins of Jesus. Well, I guess everybody in Israel was cousins, technically, but I mean, closer cousins than, you know, 2,400 cousins once removed or whatever. I mean, they were apparently close cousins, we believe, and at least some believe. And so he speaks kind of like, oh, this person opened this home to her. But the neat thing is that Martha opened her home to him, right? She said, hey, come on in. We'll have a meal together. And she welcomed him in that way. And yet we see the interest here, of course, is the contrasting response of the two sisters. Martha, you know, she's busy, busy, busy. And Mary, she just kind of camps at his feet. I'm assuming she's sitting down. She's just enthralled, just listening to every word, every movement of Jesus, as is appropriate. She was worshiping Jesus. Should she worship Jesus? Amen. Absolutely. And so she was worshiping him by paying attention, learning from him, just enjoying, basking in his presence. And we see this contrast. Now, we shouldn't see Martha in a purely negative light. Now, I had a lady in one of my churches years ago, and she told me one day, we were just talking, and she was a lady that did lots of stuff around the church, and she was a deaconess and that sort of thing, and she said, you know, I think Martha got a bad rap. And I'm thinking, well, Jesus is the one that kind of gave her that rap, you know? He's the one that said, Martha, Martha. So I'm having a hard time with that. But I said, okay, what do you mean by that? She said, well, you know, she was a doer, this lady. She was a doer, and I appreciate doers. Don't misunderstand. But she felt that she got a bad rap. And we went on to talk about more of that as we went on. But Martha was a little like Peter, maybe, being one to seemingly miss the point. She's missing the point of what's going on here. She's not comprehending what Mary's doing and the value of that. Any reason Martha couldn't have sat down with her? Some of us would say, yeah, well, who's going to get the meal? Well, the answer to that, who says there has to be a meal right now? I doubt if any of them were starving. Could the meal be a little bit late? I don't know. But we assume some things, and we assume, Martha assumes that working is what she should be doing. She assumes that Mary is doing wrong. She assumes that she's doing right. She assumes that she's right on the right path. Now, Jesus never says that what Martha is doing is bad. It's important to realize that. He never says it's bad. But he says Mary is doing the better thing. The better thing. And you know, I just realized I forgot something else. I'm going to let it go. William, maybe next week, okay? Sorry about that. William was going to read. I'm telling you, I'm still getting my feet in sync here, so forgive me for that. William is going to read scripture today. But we'll put him on for next week, okay? And we're going to have you read something like with lots of names that are hard to pronounce. I'm just kidding. But Mary is just sitting there listening to his teaching. On the other hand, Mary is described as the one who sat at the Lord's feet and speaks of a teacher-pupil relationship as she's sitting there. She's described as someone who listened to what he said. Mary was a true disciple. This was unusual in this day and culture. Men were the ones that got to sit around and talk. Ladies, sorry, but you were doing what Martha was doing. You were in the other room. You were doing all that stuff. Jesus is not necessarily accepting that prescription. And that's what's interesting about this. Can men and women both come to Jesus on the same level ground? Yes. Do each of us have to want to and need to become disciples of Jesus? Amen? And again, the picture here is one where Martha is involved in excessive activity while Mary is literally sitting. And this is so real. I mean, we can imagine this so easily. Anybody have a sister that you kind of thought, hey, how come she's sitting on her duff? You know? No? Okay. A brother? A sibling? Either way, brother or sister? You know, sisters, and somebody said to me this week, you know, these kids sometimes don't get along. I said, what, siblings don't get along sometimes? Anybody ever seen that? I mean, a couple times my brother and I, at least once, I remember that it involved blood. Not intentionally, but it wound up that way. You know, I love my brother, and I think he loved me. But sometimes we disagreed, and it came to pretty rough stuff. G. Campbell Morgan once told the story. You ever heard of G. Campbell Morgan? Okay. He once told the story. A child gave a wonderful explanation of walking with God. She went home from Sunday school, and her mother said, tell me what you learned at school. And she said, don't you know, mother? One day Enoch and God went for an extra long walk, and they walked on and on until God said, Enoch, you know, you're a long way from home. You better just come on in and stay. And he went. Isn't that cool? We think about Enoch was with God, and he was not. He just went on with God. And there's stories about that. We know that's in the scripture, so we don't fully understand how that came about, but we know it did. He didn't die, apparently. He was early raptured, if you will. And we want that kind of relationship with God. We want that kind of focus and closeness and the sense of the presence of Christ. And that's one of the things as we worship, we come together for worship, we're experiencing his presence together, but you can experience his presence just you and God, right? As you have your time with the Lord. Wherever you are, you're driving down the road in the car, you're riding up the big hill. You know, one of the places you pray a lot is when you're riding up a big hill on your bicycle. Oh, God, please help me up this hill. You know, and he will. But in every way, our actions even praise the Lord when you think about it. Who gives you breath to breathe? Who enables you to have muscles to stand up and walk? Who gives you eyes to see? As we do the things that we're made to do, in a way, we're praising the Lord. We're worshiping him. We're showing his value, his worth. Sometimes when I'm literally riding my bicycle, I think, God, thank you for giving me muscles so I can do this. Lots of other things too. This is an honor and a glory and a worship to you. As soon as my mind begins to get on that, I'm worshiping the Lord in my spirit and my heart. Amen? Amen? Brother Lawrence, everybody here, anybody here ever hear Brother Lawrence practicing the presence of God? Little book that was written by a monk many years ago. And he was the chief cook and bottle washer, okay, for the monks in that monastery. And he was bummed out because all the other monks would go away and they'd go to chapel, they'd go to worship. There were enough monks that he was always cleaning up after one meal and going right into fixing the next one. So how can I know God like these guys? He began to realize that he could practice the presence of God in his daily activity. Now, it's good to sit down and just be with God. But sometimes we're busy. You're on your way to work. You're at work. You're coming home from work. You're doing other things. Can you practice the presence of God? And what Brother Lawrence learned is that, yes, you can practice the presence. And he learned to worship God as he was going through his activity. Now, again, don't misunderstand. I think it's good to sit down and just be with the Lord and take that time each day. But even as you do that, you get up. And you go from that time, and maybe you do that first thing in the morning, then you get in your car, you go to work, or whatever you're going to do. Don't allow that presence just to stay there in that quiet time place. Realize that Jesus is with you. You've given me a wonderful quiet time place, by the way. The apartment that we're living in has this big window, and I got my chair just so I can look at the mountains outside. And that's really got my coffee, got my Bible. It's cool. Maybe you don't have to have that, do you? Because you're meeting with the Lord. And life is knowing, walking in relationship with Jesus. Life is knowing God. Are we distracted from Jesus? Again, but Martha was distracted by all her preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by herself? And then this next one, tell her to help me. Now, if that's not manipulation, I don't know what is. She's trying to put God in that box. She's trying to put Jesus in the corner. Look, she's not doing right, therefore you should. Now, there's a big premise there that she's not doing right, first of all. This was a learning thing for both Mary and Martha and everybody that may have overheard. And now for us. It says she was distracted. It's an interesting way to put this contrast to Mary's non-distracted attentiveness. The verb implies that she was drawn by the attention of her duties. Further, she was not as upset about the fact that she could not sit and listen to Jesus as she was the fact that she felt forced to work alone without any help. Again, our heart should draw us to Jesus. If your heart's not drawing you to Jesus, if you're not longing for that closeness with him, even as a believer, say, Lord, keep transforming my heart. The more we pursue Jesus, the more we thirst for him. Does that make sense? As we pursue him, he answers, but he also keeps pulling us forward. At what point in eternity will we know everything about God? Is there going to be that time? It's not possible, is it? People sometimes, and I've even once worried about being bored in heaven. You know, what is it going to be, an eternal hymn sing? I like singing hymns and songs and praising the Lord. Don't misunderstand me, but I also like doing other stuff. Now, I don't know what all my I totally will be like when I'm in that place or when we're in that place. But then when you begin to realize its eternal relationship and the vastness of God, we can't possibly be bored because God is infinite. And so how do you finish infinite? You can't. Anybody finish the internet? You can't even finish that. And that's finite, actually. That's finite. It's beyond our comprehension, but it's finite. How many hairs? Well, some of this, you people, this is easier than others, but how many hairs on your head? Anybody count them lately? And we can't even do that. No, some of you can't. But you know what God says about those folks that have fewer hairs? Some heads he created perfect. Others he covered with hair. You've heard that before. And so, you know, so little things. And Jesus said things like this. If you can't do such a little thing, then why are you worried about the bigger stuff? And how can we comprehend the fullness of God? And we have Martha contrasted here with Mary. Don't you wonder why Martha was so distracted? Why was she distracted? We really are not told and have no absolute way of knowing what was on her mind, but I believe it's instructive to try to imagine what was going on inside of Martha. And again, I don't think this is real hard to get to, because we could all put ourselves in Martha's place, can't we? And experience in our minds, our imagination, what was probably going through her head. I mean, she's, oh, I've got to do all this. And Jesus, maybe he showed up unexpected. And there was stuff laying around the house. And so she gathered it up, threw it in the bathtub, and closed the curtain, right? You know, threw it under the bed. Now, they had rolled up beds on the floor, so I don't know how she did that. It'd be lumpy. But, you know, what did she do? She probably was trying to clean the house at the same time, preparing a meal. You can imagine this. And you can imagine yourself in her shoes, and then you're looking at your sister, and she's just sitting there. Hey! And she never said anything to Mary. It doesn't say she said anything, but you can imagine she was giving her the look. Right? She was giving her the look. You know? And Mary didn't even see her giving her the look. That was really frustrating because Mary, she was only seeing who? Jesus. Her eyes, her attention was totally focused on Jesus. Have you experienced that? Have you been there at times when you're with the Lord where you just, it's like the house could burn down and you would just be so focused on Jesus, you wouldn't notice. You're just in the zone with the Lord. And that's where God calls us to that place constantly. He invites us to that place because he longs to have that deep relationship with you because he loves you and he longs for that for you because it what that relationship with God does in our soul, our being of beings. And we're all invited into that through, well, it's behind here, the cross. Through Jesus. Amen? Amen? How many are invited into that deep, deep relationship? How many? Just a few of you, I guess. Nobody else is raising their hand. How many are invited into that deep, deep relationship? I want you to raise your hand if you believe that. I want you to sense that you are invited. You are included in that relationship with Jesus. You can just go as intimate with Jesus as anybody else. You can be as intimate with God as Jesus is intimate with God. You get that? Because who lives in you? God, the Holy Spirit. He's invited us to a complete relationship. And that's the difference between Old Testament and New Testament belief. The Old Testament believers, we see occasionally the Spirit came upon them. Right? But in the New Testament, everybody that comes to Jesus Christ, what happens? God indwells them in the Spirit, that's you and me included. Everybody. Everybody. Everybody that's in Jesus Christ, the Spirit, he lives in you. And there's nothing, anything in this world or in eternity that's closer than that. Again, Spend the rest of the afternoon at least trying to get your head around that. But even if you don't, realize and simply believe by faith the reality of that fact, that truth. And Jesus is trying to help these sisters and everybody else that's in that room to understand that. And he's instructing. And the beautiful thing about Jesus, there wasn't a situation that he couldn't turn into a teaching moment. Amen? And he does that right here. He turns it in. Don't you wish you could do that always with your kids and people around you? You know? Some of you have already raised your kids, but some of you are thinking, you know, they could still learn a few lessons. You know? Sometimes we may feel guilty about the truth that Jesus is seeking to work into our lives, and as a result, we try to avoid what we know we should be doing. We get all the more intimidated or irritated by the fact that others have their priorities right. And that may be what Martha was going through right here. She was trying to say, look, Jesus, aren't I good? Aren't I good? Aren't I good? Look at Mary. She's not as good as me. Look, I'm doing this. I'm doing. She's just sitting there. And Jesus turned the whole thing upside down, didn't he? He turned it completely upside down. And this is the doer versus the beer. The doer versus the beer. Martha was a doer. Mary was a beer, at least at this juncture. She was just being in a relationship with God. We were created to have lots of work to do, right? Is that what we were made for? How many are shaking their head no? We were created to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's number one. Number one. Relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And that supersedes everything else. That's life. Connection with God in relationship is life. Life. And that's what we're going for right now in this world. And that's what we're heading for in eternity. We might as well get used to it. And frankly, it's a wonderful place to be. Amen? Knowing that now. But Martha is assuming the precedence of what she is doing over what Mary is doing. And frankly, that's how we think, isn't it? Even if we are mostly a beer, there's times when we're a doer and we look over to the other person and say, why aren't they doing? Why aren't they doing? You know, what I see in churches a lot of times is, a person has a passion for something, okay? They have a passion for something, and it revolves really around their giftedness. And it could be any number of things. But it usually aligns somewhere with their giftedness. And they can say, you know, I've got this desire. Why doesn't everybody else have it? Well, maybe that's because that's your giftedness and it's not theirs. But are they working out their giftedness? Well, maybe they are, but it's not in the same sphere where you are. Are we all evangelists? Are we all preachers? Are there some evangelists? Are there some preachers? Are there some helpers? Are there some piano players? Keyboard people? Guitar players? I don't care. You know, some people that feel more comfortable just cleaning up the place. They don't want to be up front. They don't feel comfortable being up there. How many want to come up here and preach this morning? You know, maybe a few of you. Some of you say, no, I don't want to do that. You know, I said that too at first, back in the day, long, long time ago. But it was my gifting. And we honor God when we work out, allow the Spirit to work out through our lives our giftedness that he's given us. And who receives the glory for that? God Almighty. I don't take any credit. I pray every day when I come in to preach. I say, Lord, not me, but you. What do you want to say? I'm just the conduit for what your Spirit wants to do through me. These people, what you want to share with them is what's most important. I'm just the mouth guy. You didn't see God's hand behind me making my mouth go? You know, like a puppet, so to speak. I that could be a bad picture, but you know what I'm saying? It's the Spirit of God, Lord willing, and hopefully, that speaks to you, and I'm just the middleman. But the Spirit, of course, can speak directly to you even without me here. I believe that Jesus wants her to question her assumption. And that's what we have to do sometimes. We have to question our assumption. You ever had an assumption that you had to question? And you didn't like questioning it because it might mean changing your assumption. And that's hard. You know? I assume the moon is made out of cheese. Might I question that assumption? That's what I've always believed. I don't really believe that. But, I mean, there's assumptions we have to question. And Jesus is challenging Martha. You need to question your assumption. What assumption might God be encouraging you to question in your life? What assumptions? What assumptions? And particularly in this regard to the value of being with Jesus as opposed to doing for Jesus. Her attitude was the main thing that was wrong. Look at what she's doing. Jesus never criticizes what she's doing. He just says to her, Mary has chosen the better. He doesn't say it's not good what you're doing. He says the better. I do believe he's wanting her to definitely be challenged in her attitudes. A workaholic might be defined as someone who lives to work. Most of us, I hope, work to live, but a workaholic lives to work. I've had a hard time with that over the life as a pastor, you know? I love preaching. I love being in the Word. I love meeting with people. Where's that line? I don't know. I hope that I'm loving through Jesus Christ and just following his leading. But do I sometimes think that if I work really hard, God will be more pleased with me? If I start going down that road, I'm really going down the wrong road, aren't I? God is neither pleased more or less with our works. He's pleased when we seek him with all of our heart and allow his Spirit to work through us. Then we don't have to worry about the rest. Amen? Amen? And God is doing that in us. You think about a bee. We always think of, we say, busy as a bee, don't we? We say busy as a beaver, too, but we think usually bee is the thing I've thought of. And I had beehives when I was a kid. I know somebody still has some beehives. But I had beehives, my brother and I had beehives when we were kids, and there were times I didn't really want to go out in the hot sun and have to go through and deal with those things. But at any rate, did you know to produce 1 pound of honey, the bee must visit 56,000 clover heads? That's a lot of clover heads. And since each head has 60 flower tubes, a total of 3,360,000 visits are necessary to give us that 1 pound of honey for the breakfast table. Meanwhile, the worker bee has flown the equivalent of 3 times around the world. Okay? I don't think one worker bee makes all that honey, amen? You know, but this is just so we understand. To produce 1 tablespoon of honey for our biscuit or our toast, the little bee makes 4,200 trips to flowers. He makes about 10 trips a day to the fields, each trip lasting about 20 minutes, and 400 flowers are visited. A worker bee will fly as far as 8 miles if he cannot find nectar that's closer. 8 miles. That'd be, what, 16 miles round trip. And the bee is usually admired for his industriousness, and actually it's her. The little bees that are workers, they're all she's, just by the way. The only males in the hive are the drones, and they don't do much. They get things started, and that's about it. They hang around and say, hey, give me food. And they say, get out of here, get out of here. You know, drones can't even sting you. It's true, they don't have stingers. But at any rate, I used to play with the drones with my bare hands just because I knew they couldn't sting me. I was a kid, come on. We have an apt expression, busy as a bee, but to describe someone who seemed to get a lot accomplished, yet there's a difference between a bee and us humans. A bee was created to do exactly what he does. We, on the other hand, were created to have fellowship with God. And here's Jesus' perspective in the last couple verses here. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. And hear those words for yourself. As you've chosen the better, Jesus isn't going to take that away from you, ever. This may be may have been an ongoing situation again between two sisters. You know, Martha's. I've always thought that Martha was the older one. I don't know why, but I've always assumed that Martha was the older one. She looked at her little sister and said, you know, and maybe she kind of became a little bit maternal with her at times. You need to. But either way, it doesn't matter. She perceived a character flaw in Mary. There she is, as usual, sitting around while I'm doing all the work. But relationship is what's key. And the same word for anxious is used both here and in Matthew 6:30 and following. Have anxiety, be anxious, be unduly concerned. That's Jesus is talking about Martha here. In this case, he's basically saying you worry, you're worried and you're upset about many things. We worry, we worry, we worry. Anybody worry? Anybody worried about anything this week, even just a little bit? You know, it's, and there's a value to anxiety just a little bit, because sometimes it helps us to do the next thing that we do need to get done. But there's a point where we overdo it, right? And that's when we're up till 4 a.m. We can't go to sleep, and that thing just keeps going through our mind. Something we said to somebody or did, or something we forgot to do, or something we need to worry, or think we need to worry about for tomorrow. And the same word for anxious is used both here and in that passage in Matthew 6:30, which you're so familiar with, seek first the kingdom of God and so forth. Be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. That's actually in one of the epistles. But you know what I'm talking about. And Jesus says, the only one thing is needed is this trust and obedience, this relationship. In that relationship, we are being obedient. And once we found that, once we come to that place, it will not be taken away from us. It cannot be jerked away from us. If we're in relationship with Jesus Christ, we're there. We're there. And we have, and that's because our confidence is not in our fleetingness. Our confidence is in the steadfastness of God. The steadfastness of God. I'm not looking to me. If you worry about your salvation, it's because you're looking at your own works. If you're confident in your salvation, it's because you're looking at Jesus. Amen? You follow me? Jesus did it. He took care of it on the cross, and he opened the way. What are the distractions in our lives that keep us from enjoying fellowship with God? We need to just look at those things. And frankly, don't get all down on yourself with distractions. Talk to Jesus about them. Jesus, you know I'm distracted by this or that. You know sometimes I feel like I'm more like Martha than Mary. You know these things, Lord, and I just hand these things up to you. I confess these things in my life, these way of thinking to you. And I invite you to change the way I think. I invite you to make me and be making me that new person that you've promised to turn me into. And again, when we think of the worst sins in the world, we often think of drugs and alcohol and immorality and all those things. I'm not saying those things aren't bad. But the worst mistake that anybody could ever make in this world is not knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Because that's an eternal consequence. All the other stuff can be forgiven in Christ and changed. But having that relationship is what we're called to. And it's not a have to, it's a joy. You know, I enjoy hanging out with my bride there. I think she usually enjoys hanging out with me most of the time. It's when I do dad jokes and it's not so good. But actually she even humors me sometimes and laughs anyway. But, you know, more than hanging out with her, I enjoy hanging out with Jesus. And that's what we get to do in Christ, is hang out with God. And he invites us into that casual, loving, wonderful, deep, full relationship. Anything you can't talk to God about, well, there's no point in not talking it. He knows it anyway. You can't pull the wool over his eyes. But the neat thing about that is that he sees those things in our life, good or bad, and he still says, I love
you.
Yes, I'm not happy maybe about this thing in your life. And one, it's offensive to me, but two, it's hurting you. And I want to change you in that regard so you know my great love and so you're walking in a more joyful way in relationship with me. There's a story of a father and a daughter, and they were great friends, and they always were enjoying one another's company. And the father noted a change in his daughter. He said they would often go to work walks and stuff together, and he would say, well, let's go on a walk today. And she'd excuse herself, I can't right now, Dad. I can't right now, Daddy. And this went on for a number of months before his birthday. And when his birthday came, she presented him with a pair of exquisitely worked slippers, saying, I've made them for you. And you know, as appreciative as he was of the gift, he said to her, oh, now I get it. You were using that time to make the slippers, and I appreciate the slippers, but I'd rather have the time with you. And that's what God says to each and every one of us. I'd rather have the time with you. I don't need your works. The works will come naturally. When we're walking in Jesus, we will be doing and acting out the way he wants us to live and to act. I got up early one morning and rushed into the day. I had so much to accomplish, I didn't have time to pray. Troubles just tumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me? I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all the keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided. Why, child, you didn't knock. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on gray and bleak. I called on the Lord for the reason. He said, you didn't seek. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. Jesus said in Revelation 2, I know your works and your labor, your patience, but I miss the first love. Let's pray. Father, may we be people who truly walk in that joy and excitement and understanding, experience of that first love that we had with you on that first day we came to you. And if we happen to be here this morning and haven't ever made that decision, then may this be the day when we say, Lord Jesus, I do want to have a relationship with you, not just here, but for all eternity. Make it very real right now. And I invite you to come into my life, Lord Jesus, and make me the person you want me to be. I receive you. And for all those who have already received him, Lord, and those who may have just received him, may we be people who are seeking you with all of our hearts, pursuing you with all of our effort and strength, realizing that you receive us in grace, but we come to you and experience your love as we pursue you, as you're indeed pursuing us. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. We pray. Yevarekaka Adonai Varish Mereka, Ye'er Adonai Panavaleka V'yoneka, Yisa Adonai Panavaleka, Yesem Leka Shalom. It means the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom, peace. In Jesus' name, greet about 12 people before you leave or more. God bless you.